Say Money Summers. The twa quines perched in the wooden brig, skinny legs dangling abeen the brown sheeny water. The summer had been long and het, and the burn looked sair in need o' a guid week's rain. I wonder if it Miss Duncan's been doing in her holidays, said Molly, atween long sooks o' a reed lollipop. Weel, she's nae been dooking in the bogie, said Sheena. They laughed as long and sair at the picture art conjured up that Molly was the weir's a fan off the brig. I ken for she'll be saying next week, said Sheena, ain't she'd come to Lassail. She stood up and put on her poshest voice. Now, children, this is a very important year for you all. You will have to work hard and try your best. Weel, she'll be wasting her time with me. I'm nae gaun to Huntly Squeal onyway. I'm biding here. Molly had sat up and was looking serious. My mam says you have to ging to Huntly if you pass your 11+. It shows you're clever if you ging, said Sheena. Your mam doesnae ken athing. My sister Nora passed and she didnae ging because she didnae want to. Molly heaved a lollipop stick fair and watched it jink its way down the burn. She fessed a sherbet fountain out of the paper bag aside her. Sheena I had been faring aw Molly, and for she got a wawee. And foo many sweeties she got. Every week Molly and her sister got saxpence to spend at Thompson's shop. They aye each bought a quarter or something out of a jar, pear drops, aniseed bars or sick like. They each had a tin to put their sweeties in, and when Sheena went to play at their house, there was aye a row about fit tin she should get in out of. And they were aye getting extras for buy, lucky bags and things Sheena never saw. Every day her granny sent something for her home with her dad, for I went to his mother's for his dinner, but most often it was just a napple or a wee box of coloured pencils. And Auntie Madge was good to her, she was not ungrateful, but... And now, here was Molly saying she wouldn't hate a gang to Huntly if she didn't want to. For a wee lassie east of day and for she was tilt, it was ower much to take in. But my mam says, your mam isn't even your mam, she's your auntie, shouted Molly. Sheena was that teen a buck she couldn't speak, and the twa quines sat and looked at in and there till she found her tongue. My mam is sat, my mam, who could she be my auntie? Because your auntie Madge is your real mam. I heard my mother speaking about it to my dad. But my auntie Madge couldn't be my mam, she's not even married. Well, I suppose that's true, said Molly. I'm nae sure if what would work. She looked just about as squashed as the empty sherbet fountain she threw down aside her. Sheena had kind of taken the wind out of her sails. I didn't mak it up, ye ken. My mam said, only feel can see fa's bairn ye are. Only why, I'm going home for my tea. Are ye coming? Sheena got up on her feet and the twa lassies shuggled along the brig, Molly titting at the toes to gear Paul a flag. They climbed the path up the brae and raced in another bark into the village. I'll nae see you the morn, said Molly when they arrived at the gate. We're gone to the toon in the bus to get my new sheen for the squeal, and Jimmy's. We're gone to the Prince's Cafe for our dinner, and I'm haeing mince and tatties and peas and rice pudding. Well, that's what I heard last time, and it was bra. Cheerio. She ran down the path and disappeared round the corner of the house. Sheena stood gaking after her for a minute, and then thought to herself that things weren't aye fit they seemed. She had eens had mince and tatties at the Prince's Cafe, and it was full of onions, so she wouldn't eat it. The rice pudding had nae skin on it, and was nothing like her mam's. It was just a sappy sorter, and she wouldn't eat it either. Her dad had been mad, and she'd never been taken back. Sheena started walking down the street past her own house, through Troops Close, till her granda's house came into view. Her mam aye made granda's tea on a Wednesday night, because Auntie Madge worked late at the bank. Auntie Madge bed with granda and looked after him, just like her sister had done afore her. Sheena liked it fine going to granda's, he had a television. Nae habody in the village had, nae even Molly. She told the young uns and the skirly for the ain next of the week, kenning she would get to watch Crackerjack. It was 5 o'clock and gone again, so she ran down to the back door and up the steps into the kitchen. The tatties were biling away and the lid of the pan plopping up and down. She could hear voices coming through the front room, for her grandad would be sitting in his chair. He didn't seem to dee muckle else nowadays, and was aye sicking her to nip up to Thompson's for his Beecham's pudders and stuff for his puffer. She sneaked up ahind the door and leaned forward to hear what they were speaking about. "Is it nae about time you tell to lassie, Frances?" said grandad. Her mither let out a sigh. "Well, it's nae as easy as that, feyther. She doesna need to ken yet. Nae pint and upset in a coin afore we have to. Ony why, I'd better see to tatties." She nae gied the door a shove and jumped in front of her mam. "I've been doing it to burn wi' Molly. Fits for a tea." "It's Wednesday, she nae, ye ken fine. Fits for a tea," said her mam, wiping her hands in her apron. "Can I put on a television, grandad?" "Fairly at, lass, fairly at." It had taken a while to warm up, and by the time it came on, Cracker Jack was nearby. Usually she kent a' the answers and was aye pleased with herself, imagining nae hen on nae cabbages and getting to keep a' the prizes she'd managed nae to scale. But the next her mind was no in the questions. She'd ower mony questions o' her ain. Fit was her mither wasna ready to tell her. She thought back to fit Molly said at the burn. "Your mam's nae your mam," she'd said. "She's your auntie." Well, she couldn't counter the fact that her auntie Madge did look like her. They were both red-headed, and her mam was kind of a moosey colour. They got on fine together, tae. Madge did files gie her sweeties. "Just gulch," her mother said, "and let Sheena read her wee love story books with the pictures that her dad said she wasn't supposed to read." In the summer on a Sunday, the hail jing bang of them would files gang for a walk round the braes or out the Cabrach Road. "Here's your tea, feyther. Sheena, you come back to the kitchen for yours," said her mam. She switched off the television and they both teen their seats at the kitchen table. Sheena steered her skirly round the plate and made a wee pile of the sheeny brown bits she couldna abide, hiding them ahind the chopper tatties. I'll go up at her mither and wondering if she could bring herself to say something. The thing was she liked it, her mam. But then things werena aye if you thought to her. Sheena listened a lot to the wireless at home. Well, her da had it on just about half the time. She aye hurried home for children's hour, and the hen missed wake the story had been great expectations. For the stomach aster she got, when it turned out the convict was as still as dad. She hadna jaloosed that at all. By the time her mother had gained her dinger about fool little Sheena had eaten, washed the dishes and tidied up, it was time to go home to see her dad. It was a 4 mile bike ride for Gartley to his work, so he was aye at bed later. Being still the summer holidays, Sheena got to bide up till 9, but then it was upstairs. He had nae brothers or sisters, she had the wee attic room till herself. The lamp beside her bed cast queer shadows in the skylight, horrible bulging heads, but if she put the light out in the quiet darkness, she could hear the scrabbling noises. "Birds in the reef," mother said, but Sheena couldn't sleep. Their hooses were joined on till the big hoose, and Molly said her mum told her it would be rats and it was. Oh, far did you believe? The next she decided to keep on the licht and read a file. She was in the middle of Heidi for the umpteenth time. Heidi didn't even hear me there, poor soul, thought Sheena, and then minded that the book was down aside the fire for she'd left it. She got up and creeped down the stairs, thinking her mum and dad might still be in the scullery, but no, she heard their voices through the open lobby door. "It's nothing to do with your feyther, Fan but Taylor, is't?" said her dad. "I ken, but I suppose he's right in a way, Jack." Sheena pushed the door wide and won her turn. "It's okay, I ken. Molly telt me," she said, quite kind. Nothing could be heard but the dreeping tap in the scullery till the fire gied a fussle and a spark. "Fit? Who could Molly tell you, lass? Who could she ken anything about it? Her mam telt her." Well, I dinna ken fu that could be, for I've tailed naebody, said her father. Only why will naebody flit in for another month or so when I start the new job. We're leaving here, said the shocked wee quine. But that's nae fit, Molly, said. I'm nae caring fit your pal, said Lassie. We're moving to Inverurie. You'll hae new friends and a new squeal. Now I'll walk upstairs with your book to your bed and we'll speak about it tomorrow. There was nae why she nae could concentrate on Heidi now, nor could she sleep. She didna ken whether to be pleased or no. There was ae thing, though. She couldna wait to tell Molly that she would be gone. Wouldna be gone to Huntly Squeal either. She nae parked her car at the top of the brae and got out. The sky was crying out to be pinted, the reeds and pinks mirled with gold. She wasna sure if it was she'd come here first, for her mother was expecting her at the house. Maybe she was pitting off facing her mum, and she felt sae guilty at missing Auntie Madge's funeral, nae that her mum would say anything. Only why should I like it coming here and say had Madge. She walked a tour for the car park and teen her time gone down the slope and path that wasn't as wide as she minded, with brobby bunches sticking out of her. The brig was solid and metal new and refused to shock. Standing in the middle with the sun guddling in the water, she understood fit why they would be coming here the morning to scatter ashes. In the last of the summer lech, through the shrubby woods, there was nothing to be heard but the burbling of the burn. A new gate barred the way round the braes, and it seemed to mark the end of something. She walked back up the path, got in her car and drove to if it had been her grandad's house. Tina Bach had finished the door locked, she rang the bell and right away her mother appeared. "I'm nae used to being mysel' yet," she said, afore she nae could say anything. "Come away in and turn the key in ye. Just put your case in the back room and I'll put on the kettle." She was already on her way to the kitchen, and Sheena did as she was told. "Who have you been?" said Sheena, and sat down facing each other over the kitchen table. "I'm really sorry I missed Auntie Madge's funeral. You ken I would have been here if I could, but there was just nae way I could get off at 6 short notice with that money folk nae wheel and nobody else to take charge." "Oh, your dad would have been odd proud of you, Sheena. You've done well to his second important job in Edinburgh. Dinna worry, Uncle Jimmy and Mina sat here, I think, fine." She gave a bit sigh. "Ah, weel, they're baith awa' noo, your dad and Madge, there's just me left." She now could see tears starting to come in her mother's een. "Aye, there's still you, ma'am, and that's what matters. Madge had a good life and passed awa' peaceful in her sleep and nae pain. She wouldn't have went your hair to be sair." Her mother sat, heed bowed. "The morn after we've been to the burn, we'll team Madge's room and sort out a note. I'll phone Paul and tell him I'm taking the rest of the week off. It's the least I'm due. And then we can have some time together." She leaned across the table and touched her mother's arm, making her look up and give a bit smile. "Aye," she replied, "that's what we'll do." "Well," said she, "now I think I'll have a bath and get to my bed early. We've a busy day the morn. So I go eat next sleep will do us nae harm. I'll wash the dishes and tidy up here first." Her mother was looking happier with herself and didn't argue. By the time she had relaxed in a head bath and got ready for her bed, her mum's door was closed. The door of Auntie Madge's room was a bit open, and she now found herself drawn to it. She held back, then went in, switching on the light. The room was fair, neat and tidy as it aye had been. Madge's favourite scent seemed to hang about, and she half expected to see her sit and reading in the chair at the window. Like her niece, Madge had never married, and had been biding in the house herself till she and his mum had moved in with her when she was widowed. The twa sisters had been company for one another. New in the room had come to Sheena that she hadn't really taken time to mourn this woman for had been sick an important body in her life. She stood in front of the dressing room table, looking at a brush and a comb, a strand of creamy white pearls and a bonny embroidered hunky. She sat down on a stool and opened a long, narrow drawer. Inside was a battered old box like a smart case. She took it out and felt the need to open it. It sat there, waiting, closed, the lid a brown barrier to somebody else's privacy. Guilt charred at her conscience, but it didn't stop her. She pressed the catch and it sprang open. Inside, yellow and envelopes and newspaper cuttings fought for attention with photos of family and others she couldn't recognise. A black and white photo fell out. She picked it up and saw herself, about 7 or 8 years old, standing in front of her mum and dad, all three smiling, posing for her auntie. She minded of the pale blue frock with the flowers Marge had embroidered for her, kept for best, but had forgotten about the handbag hanging for her arm. It was na a bairn's bag, but an alley knew her auntie's she'd been gain, despite her mother's protest. The occasion had been a day out together in Granda's car, a Sunday, when they'd stop at a side of Burn for a picnic. She laid down the photo and noticed an envelope with her auntie's name and address in the front. She thought she recognised the handwriting, and afore she could stop herself, she had the letter open in her hand. It was dated October 1950, the year afore Sheena was born. Nosiness getting the better of her, she read the letter. Catterick, 3rd of October 1950. My dear Marge, please try to forgive me. There is no easy way to say this. I now realise it is your sister I love more than anything else in the world. It was Frances I married, and it is with Frances I want to spend the rest of my days. I ken this will hurt you sair, especially after what has happened. As for the bairn, Frances has agreed to bring it up as our own. You could both bide with Cousin Agnes in Glasgow until the birth, and no one need ever know. It'll be another 6 months before my next posting, by which time the bairn will be here. I'm truly sorry, Marge, for all the pain I have caused. Frances is finding it very hard to forgive us both, but accepts that the above suggestion is for the best. If you are in agreement, I'll see to all the arrangements. Please find it in your heart to forgive me. Jack. Sheena sat fair dumbfounded. She read and reread the letter, hoping that maybe, just maybe, she'd picked it up the wrong way. But ilka reading just confirmed what she found hours shocking it again. Her mind battled with that and all that it meant. Auntie Marge was her mother, and her mother was her auntie. All those years ago at the burn, Molly had been wrecked. Shock turned to anger. But why had nobody told her for God's sake? And fit kind of unfeeling being was this man her father? Thoughts in her raveled mind were all rummelled up as she tried to take in what Elkie's sister had to thole over a lifetime, keeping the lid snapped shut in her sair hearts. She now found the photo again and now looked at it like she was seeing it for the first time. She saw her mother's arm and her feathers entwined in them, and there was nae mistake in how close they were. But for Sheena, the thing that stood out was her mother's other hand. It was round Sheena's shoulders, resting her head in there, like she was saying, "This is our coin." She sat staring at the photo, nae longer conscious of the passing of time. Slowly it came to her that this was a woman fa had forgiven her cheating man, had forgiven her sister's deceit and had loved their bairn. Her head was full of so many questions, but fit she kent for certain was, she couldna hae asked for a better mother. She now put the letter and the photo back in the case, broke down the lid and returned it to the drawer. The morn, the ashes, and their secret would float aneath the brig and down the bogie.